Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Church folk, maybe what church folk got to say ain't what people in need of hope need to hear. Church folk say that what the state of Israel is doing to the Palestinians in Gaza, that's God's will, and that if you poor, it's your own fault when they're the ones that made you poor in the first place. Church folk say they're going to take their country back. Well, if you take it back, you're going to give it back to the folk you stole it from in the first place, the Seminole, the Sioux, the Creek, the Cheyenne, the Apache. You put the real Americans on reservations. You're going to give it back to them? Church folk. You know what church folk says is insensitive. What church folk say is insane. What church folk say is stuck on stupid. Maybe church folk just ought to shut up.
More from Obama's ex-Reverend Wright on a recent sermon over the weekend. Apparently, he is now attacking other church folk. If you missed yesterday's show, you have no idea what you missed, but this is Obama's preacher for 20 years. Now you say, well, he disavowed him. Well, he didn't disavow him. He's a politician. He said he didn't listen to him anymore, and he said he left the church. But if you sit in a church for 20 years and you listen to such hateful propaganda, if you listen to white bashing, America bashing, privilege bashing, don't you think some of it seeps into your soul? Well, I will present my case in another way. Looking at Obama's policies and his speeches, don't you think that basically he's expressing Reverend Wright's ideas about white supremacy and about the rich? Because yesterday he said statements that is right, not Obama. Obama wouldn't say such things. He's the president. Yesterday he attacked Thomas. We played a tape where Reverend Wright, that is, attacked Voltaire, Hegel, Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt. The fact of the matter is, you have to listen to that to understand how important this is. All of what Obama's doing in this campaign is a nice way of doing what Reverend Wright has espoused in the church for 20 years. Listen to yesterday's clip 8.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
Lunatic said, I'm pretty sure he never read Voltaire, never read Hegel, although he likes to roll the Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel to sound like he knows German. I'm sure he doesn't know German. Thomas Jefferson, he attacked, one of the principal authors of the U.S. Declaration of Independence, leader of the Enlightenment. He attacked Theodore Roosevelt, a real liberal, man who started the conservation movement, one of the great presidents from the liberal point of view, and yet not liberal enough for Reverend Wright. He hates Hume, Voltaire, Hegel, Jefferson, or Roosevelt. Why does Reverend Wright hate them? One reason, because he's a stoned racist who hates whites. Calls them stupid. An unknown, despicable, hateful man like Reverend Wright attacks some of the giants of Western civilization. You say, well, where would he get this from? Well, I'll tell you where he got it from. He gets it from the universities today. This is what they're teaching your daughter. In addition to telling her to sleep with her roommate in the sorority, they're telling her to hate white males and hate Western civilization, hate herself, hate her skin color. They're teaching her courses called white privilege, that if you're a white-skinned person, you're guilty of everything that's ever happened on the earth. So who does Reverend Wright hate, and what does it have to do with the election? Well, it has everything to do with the election, because all we hear from the vermin in the media is that Mitt Romney is a Mormon, not that Obama was a Muslim. Now, if you're going to bring up religion, what's fair is fair. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So you're going to talk about Mormonism, and I'm open to that because Mormons are wonderful people. Then talk about Muslims. Many of them are wonderful people. Then why hide it? If Muslims are wonderful people, why hide the fact that Obama went to a madrasas in Indonesia? That's not an invention. That's a fact. And that apparently somewhere along the way he decided to become a Christian. That his mother's faith, apparently, before she became an atheist. Right? 1-800-449-8255. You have any thoughts on the church and Reverend Wright's hate speech? Now, who does Reverend Wright hate is the question. He hates the Enlightenment. That's who he hates. He hates the Enlightenment. He called these people stupid. He said David Hume, Voltaire, Hegel, Jefferson are stupid. Now, in this age of mass stupidity, few people still know who these men are. They probably know which goon in a striped shirt with which basketball is on which court throwing what ball against what stick. But they don't know who Hegel or Jefferson are any more than the ignorant, racist Reverend Wright does. They don't know who they are, but I know who they are. I studied them. But they're dead white males, and therefore they should be attacked. I, Michael Savage, know who they are, and you should know who they are as well. So who are they? Hume, Voltaire, Hegel, as well as Thomas Jefferson were all great thinkers in the Age of Enlightenment. The Enlightenment was a great cultural movement that promoted science and intellectual exchange of ideas. In other words, they were classical liberals, not the kind we're familiar with today. Today you don't have liberals. You have progressives who are communists. These men were classical liberals who actually wanted freedom, scientific exploration, and an end to censorship. They were the kind of liberal who, as Voltaire said, might disagree with what you said, but would defend to the death your right to say it. They are the exact opposite of what liberals want today. Now, these Enlightenment thinkers that Obama's ex-reverend hates, these thinkers brought Europe and the world out of centuries of the Dark Ages. They ushered in new philosophies, new inventions, new governments, including the United States of America itself. What Obama's Reverend Wright is saying is that he despises these thinkers, despises the changes they brought to the world, despises the very liberal ideals that they brought to mankind. Reverend Wrong wants to return the world to a feudal society ruled by gangs, by lords inhabited by peasants. And who's the lord in Wright's world? In the hateful world of Reverend Wrong, Obama is the lord and master, and you are the peasant. Make no mistake about it, words have power. Never, ever forget that words have power. And I will remind you that the Holocaust began with ideas, not with a bullet and not with a gas chamber. They ended with bullets and gas chambers. The Holocaust began in France. The Holocaust that saw the death of 6 million innocent Jews began with French anti-Semites who started writing things against the Jews. Now in this country, we have a campaign against white people. And if you think Reverend Wright is alone in this, then you are a fool. You're a bigger fool than the average schmuck who watches baseball and follows basketball and knows every football score going back to 1922. And let me tell you something else, brother. If you don't get your mind off the ball and put it on the real ball, you're going to wind up behind the eight ball. And I'm not kidding you. Now, what does this have to do with trickle-down tyranny? I'll let you figure it out. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
Now, why am I playing Reverend Wright's rants from this weekend? These are not old tapes. These are new tapes. And the question is, why am I playing them? I'm playing them for two reasons. One, because you have to know that if he's saying it, others are hearing him, and others think the same way, and some of those others may actually be in the White House. That's number one. There's no reason for us to assume otherwise, not by Obama's own policies. And remember, you can't install socialism unless you destroy capitalism first. And you either destroy capitalism through spending the country into a bankruptcy, through violent revolution, or both. I believe that a complete economic collapse of this nation will be followed by the Occupy Wall Street protesters, who are now reformed as the American Spring Protest that the socialists want. Will you be surprised when this happens, when you know that Obama's mother, father, paternal grandfather, and so many friends and mentors have been self-proclaimed communist socialists, as I point out, both in trickle-up poverty and trickle-down tyranny? Why is Obama trying to do more than any other president in U.S. history to cut energy production? Why is he driving up gasoline prices on purpose? Why is he driving up the cost of producing and transporting all goods and services so that the prices of everything are going up? If you want to kill a faltering economy while it's weak, there's no better way to do it than to increase spending and increase taxes and cut energy production. Obama's policies are not a reflection of incompetence. Make no mistake about it. This is the cleverest president we've ever had in the White House. No, sir, these are intentional policies. Who is trying to install socialism by destroying capitalism, both through a profligate spending and possibly revolution in the hands of these vermin in the streets called the occupiers. Don't be surprised. I and others have been warning you that we have the first naked Marxist president in the White House, but the American people are so ignorant. And the opposition is so weak that most people don't even see what's going on in front of their own eyes. You understand this? Let me take your calls and see what you think. In case you think that my harangue is invented out of whole cloth, I would like to hear from you. Okay? Las Vegas. Joan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Reverend Wright. Hello?
Yes, just speak. Go ahead.
Okay, Reverend Wright, actually, I'm not calling from Las Vegas. I listen to you from Las Vegas. I live in a suburb of Chicago. I live in the same town Reverend Wright lives in. Now, he lives with the white people. He lives with the rich people. And he lives in a white-gated community.
Best rich white people. So what's new under the sun about hypocrisy?
Not much.
But we know Reverend Wright lives in a gated $5 million mansion. We know that. And so, therefore, not only is a hypocrite, but a liar, but he's a dangerous hypocrite and liar, in my opinion. Wouldn't you agree with that?
His own people.
Well, he's whipping up his own people. To what end, though? What is he trying to achieve?
Hate.
What does this? What does
war,
his hatred? What does his hatred accomplish? Hot me, and I'm not here, I'm not there. Einstein and Ishtahair, that's all. And I'm not Hegel. New York, WOR, Bruce, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you asked about sitting 20 years in a church and would the propaganda rub off. I was only 12 years old when I walked out of my parents' Episcopalian church. Because they told me about Goebbels, and if you repeat a lie often enough, people start to believe it. And I'm sitting there in the church hearing them say, I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church, remission of sins, and very God. And I said, you know, if they say this long enough, they're going to brainwash themselves, and I just stop going to church. So I agree with you. For a grown man to sit there for 20 years and hear this stuff, undoubtedly it washed, you know, it rubbed in. And when his wife said something about, for the first time in my life, I'm proud to be an American, that's a reflection of that.
Right, and if Romney was advised properly, he has the golden gifts that he needs to defeat Obama in the final series of debates. Because no matter what the idiot moderator says, Romney could run all over the moderator and Obama with a smile by saying, do you still believe that America is this? Do you still believe that your first day you're proud of America was when you became first lady? He could do these things, but you know, and I both know that Romney won't do it.
You also mentioned about the fuel prices and everything. I got a little paper here that's produced by a local Republican here, It's called Americans for Prosperity. And on the front page, it shows this Obama Energy Secretary, Chu.
One of the stupidest men in history. An absolute microcephalic. He's a Nobel Prize winner in physics, but I don't think he could run a lemonade stand.
Going into an area that I don't agree with.
I don't think he wants a Muslim caliphate. I think what he wants is a socialist nation. But we don't know in which image of socialism he's using, which model is he using. I ask it in trickle-down tyranny. Is his model Beijing? Which model is he using? North Korea, Beijing, the ex-Soviet Union? We don't know. But we know that it is a socialist model. Bruce, have you yet bought trickle-down tyranny?
Can I say one more thing?
No. Answer me. Have you yet purchased a copy of Trickle-Down Tyranny?
I hear about you talking about it all.
Here we go. That's all. Okay. 1-800-449-8255. Pittsburgh, Sherry, you're up. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Michael, thank you so much for telling the truth. It's wonderful that someone has the guts to do it, and you articulate so well. So I thank you for that. I am more concerned. I think that so much is conspiring to really make us lose faith, and the fact that the real estate market and
But how could a low-life nobody like this Reverend Wrong, this lying racist, in my opinion, attack Thomas Jefferson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and get away with it in a world where these people in the media think that they're liberals? Wouldn't you think they would jump on this?
You would think, but educationism is not as revered as it used to be.
Right. They don't even know who Thomas Jefferson is, I guess.
No, they don't.
I guess they know who William Jefferson Clinton is. All right, if you name it, you gain it. Name the title.
Trickle-Down Tyranny.
You got it. We got a winner. So when I come back, more about Reverend Wrong and why the media is silent on Obama's reverend, and is Obama's brain behind them.
Whatever it was that Jesus said while he was talking to Zacchaeus caused Zacchaeus to pay back all the folk he had cheated to get rich. Listen to this. Pay him back four times what he had stolen from this. That is called restorative justice in theology. Restoring the stuff that the greedy stole from the needy. It is also called repaying the folk who got ripped off. Repaying is another word for reparations. Amen. Now,
so Romney should play this soundbite and then say, President Obama, do you believe Americans should pay reparations? But he won't do it. We have an invisible candidate. Nice guy, nice wife, nice children, great family story. But we don't have a candidate with teeth. We almost have a toothless candidate. We have a toothless nice guy running against a brilliant machine. A young, powerful, brilliant machine that's intent upon destroying the American way of life. That's exactly right. The words are very carefully chosen. Now, you know, there's an orchestrated campaign going on. It started last summer, I have a very good memory, with the Congressional Black Caucus calling the Tea Parties racist, etc. Then the union thug, the president of one of the unions, the Major League Union, said, we're going to take them out. That unto itself was a threat. We're going to take them out. Then we had Tea Party members calling this program saying the FBI were taking their pictures of their license plates at Tea Party rallies. Now we have Reverend Wright, Obama's former prayer again, all over again. It's all part of a campaign. And in the background, the unions are organizing the street vermin who've caused mayhem in this country to cause more mayhem come the elections in order to cause the October the October surprise, which I'll be surprised if this October surprise is not the October Revolution of 1917. Sean in Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Two quick points. Thanks for what you do. It's appreciated down here. Number two, we've seen the same thing historically over and over and over. Vietnam, Borneo, Malaysia, Rhodesia, Chad, Angola. It's all the same. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's a duck. It's communism. It's insurgency, straight up.
So it starts with the intellectuals firing off the missives in words, and it's followed with fire and brimstone and bullets and bombs, is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because you have to separate the, like prime example, in early Vietnam, 1961, 63, when Diem was still in power, they had this, the communists came in, it was the Viet Cong, then it became the Pathet Lao, then it became the North Vietnamese Army backed by the Chinese and the Russians, who, the domino theory, one falls, it all falls. Same thing in America, if one section falls, then the other sections they want start to fall, and pretty soon they're in control of everything.
So you have a dark vision of things. You believe Obama is the master puppeteer here, don't you?
I believe he's a spokesperson. I believe the puppeteers are behind the scenes. The same thing that happened like we just said in Rhodesia or Borneo, where it was the in the back rooms and in the jungles and stuff, the communists, and they came forward when there's social unrest and economic unrest, then they filter in their advisors, technical logistics, everything else, and then that's where it starts and becomes an insurgency, like a snowball.
Well, you know, if I were to accept your vision, and I pray to God you're 100% wrong, although I fear in my heart you may be right, you want to tie it into a few other things that have been going on, such as cutting the Marine Corps? Why would he cut the most distinguished of all the fighting forces, the most gung-ho of all? Why would he specifically target the Marine Corps? A, because it's the least diverse. B, because it has the most combat experience. And C, because it's the only element of the armed forces that they fear. I agree that that's the only reason they're cutting the Marine Corps.
Yes, sir. What you said exactly right. The Marines and some units of the Army are still the last bastions of, I guess you want to say manhood, whatever, the last bastions of strength, of, you know, and everything else. I'm not saying all the military's like that, but your elite units, the Marines, Rangers, Special Forces, stuff like that.
Well, they took care of the Rangers in that mission where they killed 23 of them. We still don't know why they were all put on one helicopter, an old helicopter at that. They got shot down with one RPG. Wouldn't you think that that is suspicious unto itself?
Oh, yes, sir. Very much so. Very much so.
And has there been any congressional outcry or investigation by the Republicans? Zero. Z-E-R-O, Sean. Sean, I write about all of this in Trickle Down Tyranny. Have you gotten your copy yet?
No, sir. Waiting on payday.
Well, you got it on the way. Stay on the line. We're sending you a free one tomorrow. Austin, Texas, Raquel, welcome. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi there. I am going to be a firm believer with your help and guidance that this puppeteer will not convince the people with his Reverend Wrong Crapper. We're going to wait for November 12th, and we're going to knock him out of this United States and hopefully...
So you're convinced that the election will see a victory of Romney. I'm not so convinced of it because Obama is granting amnesty to illegal aliens behind the door using Janet Napolitano to do so. He's using the Justice Department to make sure that voter ID laws are not required, to make certain that people can vote 3, 4, 5 times and also vote if they're illegal aliens. I wouldn't be so sure that they're not rigging the election right now by basically stuffing ballots, which is the Chicago way, Raquel. That's the way it's been done since Al Capone's day and even before then.
I still have to have hope in the American people that are not ignorant, that are not being sheepled around. Which I hate to
All right.
Hear.
Well, let's hope that you're right. If you name it, you gain it. Name the book.
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. We got a winner. Here's some other stories. The Vest has suspended his campaign. And unfortunately, the Vest is not even man enough to say he's suspending it because he's a loser and no one wanted him. He's actually wrapping it around his poor sick daughter in a hospital. It just shows you that the Vest has no character. I never liked the Vest. Never. Never trusted him. The Vest should just go away. Obama lied when he said that the health care law will control costs. Came out today that the health care law will add $340 billion to the deficit. That's according to the communist left-wing Washington Post. I'm joking. The Washington Post is a left-wing newspaper. Even they're pointing out that the health care law will add $340 billion to the deficit. Can anyone blow a whistle on Obama? Can anyone stop this man before it's too late? Where are the elders of the Democrat Party? Has he purged them all? Has he thrown out the elders of the party who know what he's doing? No. Where are they? I don't know where they are. Marine who criticized Obama says hearing board ignored the law. Good luck. He's not getting anywhere with that one. They are the law. They are the law. Mexican town celebrates Easter with burning of the Jews. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Your friends from Chiapas have a ritual down there. Your good friends from Mexico, the kind and gentle people from Chiapas who are being told are diverse and just want to be Americans. Oh, they have a little ritual down in the Chiapas. And what they do is they burn the traditions. A newspaper in Mexico is detailing Sunday's burning of the Jews, an annual tradition in a small town in the state of Chiapas. As part of the custom, locals spend the middle of their Holy Week making Jewish effigies, a reference to Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus before his crucifixion. The fake Jews are then displayed for 3 days in different parts of the town, serving examples of poor conduct, paraded through the streets on Easter Sunday, and then they set them on fire. So the next time you have a mola or you enjoy a taco, understand that the folks who are making you the taco, if they come from Chiapas, grew up on this propaganda. So if you're wearing a Star of David, I suggest that you look in your taco very carefully before you ingest it, especially on Easter Sunday. In fact, ingesting tacos on Easter Sunday from a vendor from Chiapas could be very, very dangerous to your health, no matter how liberal you may be. Oh, yeah, you may think they love you because you're a liberal and you have an Obama bumper sticker on your brain. But trust me, they don't care that you're an Obama lover, not if you have a high on your chest. 1-800-44- What trumps what? Does an Obama sticker on your brain trump a high on your chest? I don't really know. But you'd have to go down to Mexico to find out. That's unbelievable to me. What do you think about that? What's the point of asking you what you think about it? The burning of Judas. Burning of Judas. And I could see if they burned the pizza maker on Easter Sunday, since it was the Romans that crucified Jesus. Jesus. Make an effigy of Mario, the pizza maker, and burn Mario, the pizza maker, on Sunday. What do they want from the Jews? They didn't. The Romans crucified Jesus. It wasn't the Jews. You understand? They don't call it the burning of the pizza maker. They don't call it the burning of the pasta man. They don't call it the burning of, you know what I'm saying? They call it the burning of the Jews. That's all. So there it is. If you, I think I'm making this up, go to my website. I linked it up from a site. They're burning Jews, not strictly Judas. That's the long and sad history of blaming Jews for what one guy did 2,000 years ago. So these things lead to things. These things lead to things. You hear? What's interesting to me, though, that as we Jews were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus in Jerusalem, then how come we are being told that we never lived in Jerusalem? Was Jesus crucified in Russia, Poland, or Germany? Can anyone explain that to me? Either the Jews lived in Jerusalem, and therefore it's a lie. The Palestinians are telling a big lie. See? Unbelievable. So the crazies are out there. Jesus and all his followers were Jewish. You know that? I wouldn't expect the people from Chiapas to know that. Chiapas is sort of to Mexico like Arkansas is to America, and no disrespect to those of you in Arkansas who went to college or who have had dental work. Chiapas is to Mexico what Arkansas is to America. Think of the movie Deliverance from many, many decades ago. That's what the people are in Arkansas to most Americans, with the exception of a few others. A few people who have dental work and occasionally have had a cup of coffee that's not called coffee. And in fact, if you want to compare them to the Christian community, I would say that these people in Chiapas are to Mexicans what Jimmy Carter is to Christians. In other words, waving the snake around and drinking the strychnine. There are Christians who drink strychnine and wave snakes around. One of them was once president. We lived through him. Now, I don't want to stereotype people, but the fact of the matter is... Oh, God. Play it. No, I like that. Play that music. I need a break. Come on, I need a break today. I got a bad migraine. My feet hurt. My fingers are burning. My hair is on fire. That's the music of the American Chiapas. Now, while they do the burning of the Jews in Chiapas, I do the burning of the news here on the Savage Nation. The last great days of the Savage Nation. You're listening to them. The last great days of the Savage Nation. Enjoy every moment of it. Anybody got a call? Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth, Florida. Martha, welcome to the program.
Mr. Savage, it's so nice to get through to you. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And I got your new book, Trickle Down, Tyranny, and
oh.
I am enjoying it immensely.
I'm not into
it yet, but what I want to say about Reverend Wright, he's furious with Obama. He is so furious. You can hear it in his voice, much more than even before. He's supposed to be godfather of the president's children. And all of a sudden now he is pushed to the side. He has been for a long time. And
yeah, we heard this yesterday that Wright is actually doing this in order to get even with Obama. And I suspect that if that theory is true, it's because Obama had a Sunday prayer breakfast at the White House or last week where he invited the vile street thug Al Sharpton and didn't invite his old Reverend Wright, so Wright's really PO'd.
Exactly. And
I mean, if you invite Jesse Hi Jackson, who he brought back from the crypt, and then he went into the sewer and he dug up Al Sharpton and had them in the White House, and you, a Reverend Wright, who did so much to shape the mind of the president, wouldn't you be angry?
I sure would.
So that theory might be operational, that Wright is doing this like a loose cannon, so to speak.
Yes, and doesn't he sound like one?
Well, he sounded like this when Obama sat there. I mean, the tapes we have, sounds like the same voice, doesn't it?
Yeah, but President Obama didn't hear anything.
No, I think he had some hearing problems for those 20 years.
Yeah, right.
It turns out that he had a... Drudge just posted some pictures of our leader. Shock photos, Obama thin and wasting away, losing his cool and screaming in Boca Raton, by the way, where you're calling from. He does. He looks emaciated. What is going on here? What is going on? The president is emaciated. He's speaking at FAU in Boca? God, I drive by there all the time when I'm down in that area. You know FAU, right? Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton.
Yeah. He's also down here to collect money. He's going to have some dinners tonight to collect more money.
Is he going to the assisted living facilities? You know, he's not going to get many shekels from them.
No, he's going to the rich guys.
I mean, he's very popular in those communities in the assisted living. Like, you know where they are, all over Boca and the Deerfield area. They love him, and they love the guy there, because after all, when you consider 50% of Americans pay no taxes, I would say 100% of the people in Boca Raton pay no taxes. Who are Obama supporters.
Right.
So, anyway, you bought... where'd you find the book?
I got it on Amazon.com.
Oh. Well, you can get it in BNN, of course. Even in Boca, they're allowed to have it. It hasn't been banned yet. I'm sending you another free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Crucifixion as he fought occupation. So often we fight occupation, we face crucifixion. But why was he killed? Because he fought and he occupied the corrupt temple. He went to the house of prayer to pray and found corruption buying up the holy place. He occupied the temple. He said, why should the rich occupy the holy place. One with the widow's mite across the street, she cannot even get here, heard. And she given all that she is the 99%. So we occupy it.
So there's Jesse High Jackson going out to the mobs in the street, the vermin, the rats, the unemployed, the army that Obama has talked about for so many months now. Jesse Jackson calling Jesus an occupier. I mean, to me, this is an insult of the highest order to Christians around the world. To say Jesus was a bum, a drug user, an alcoholic, a sex maniac who lived in filth is beyond comprehension. And yet there's not one word from the Christian community, not a word out of any of the leading lights, because there are no leading lights. There are no leaders in the Christian community that I know of. Can you name one? Where are the cardinals? Where are the leaders of the Jewish community? There are none. They're all professional Christians and professional Jews who use their religion as a weapon to enrich themselves. That's what they do. Because if there were leaders in the Christian community, they would be screaming from a rooftop that High Jackson should have his reverend's license, whatever they give out there, revoked for saying that Jesus was an occupier. But I give up. One man can't be a government and the church and a synagogue all at once. I'm only a talk show host sitting here in front of a microphone watching the world go round, with only 24,501 people on Facebook, 14,000 on Twitter, 8 to 10 million on radio, and a few hundred thousand book readers. That's about it. No one pays any attention to me. I do the best I can for a man with three higher degrees, three lower degrees, and many degrees of separation from the Republican Party. The fact of the matter is, I've got another big hour for you here on the Savage Nation with some astonishing sound bites you've not yet heard. If you care to join the conversation and reach more people than you've ever reached in your entire life, you call 1-800-449-8255. It's real simple. You want to get up on a soapbox? Call that number. That's all there is to it. I'll be right back, and I hope to God you're still here. If not, you're going to miss an awful lot.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Who's going to get into heaven? Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Santorum. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Tea Party. When I was hungry, you fed me. You didn't cut food stamps. When I was thirsty.
Oh, you lying hypocrite. You live in a gated community, $1 million house, you liar, you. I can't take any more of the hypocrisy of these fake reverends, can you? I can't stand it. Now, if he was just another street preacher who had no history tied to the presidency, we would say it's a redundancy. But the fact of the matter is, this man is out there again, and I'm the only one who seems to be playing it. So if you'd rather I don't tell me, if you say, oh, I've heard it before, we don't care about Reverend Wright, then say I don't care about Bill Ayers, then say I don't care about any of the other connections to Obama's connections to Marxism. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to destroy the petroleum industry. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to raise gas prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to raise food prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to make people a pit against one another, black against white, white against black. Please don't tell me about any of those things, because I don't want to hear it. And you're the bad guy for being the bearer of bad tidings. Kill the messenger. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. And then just put on a light conversation. Light conversation. A conversation, light conversation, and then let these racists rail all over the media. Let these racists rail in the streets. Let these racists attack you, but say nothing about it. Let them attack Thomas Jefferson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, calling them ignorant, and I should say nothing. I'm an educated man. I can guarantee you as I sit here that this fraud, this Reverend Wrong, who attacked these people, never read them. I can tell you right now, I can hear it in the cadence of his voice. He doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about or who wrote it for him. Who wrote the speech for him, attacking the leaders of the liberal enlightenment of the 18th century? Why would he attack them? A, because they're white. B, because they're real liberals. And C, because he wants a new feudalism ruled by lords inhabited by peasants. And who's the lord? In the hateful world of Reverend Wrong, Obama is the lord and you're the peasant. So I'm not going to play much more of this. I can read you other news if this is making you uncomfortable. But you have to understand something. The gibberish that Wright is advocating from the pulpit of that church is what your daughter is being taught at Princeton. It's what your poor son, that little baby that you saw come from your womb, ladies, this little boy has had his brain destroyed at America's universities, being told that whites think they have privilege because they're white, that all whites are evil, all people of color are victims, all cops are bad, all criminals are good. You know that the number of cops being killed has gone up 78% last year? Do you think it has anything to do with the hatred coming out of some of these mouths? Why are more cops being killed even though crime is down? Why are more people shooting at cops than ever before? Anybody have an O word for that one? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I have no idea. Oh, I wish you didn't ask that. Oh, my, I think I'm going to listen to football. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I think I'm going to hear a baseball game. I think, oh, no, don't ask that. Why, cops are being killed in greater numbers than before O took office. Oh, don't say O, whatever you do. Oh, don't say O. Don't say O. No, no, no. Heck no, we won't say O. So, oh, go to michaelsavage.com for fun. If you want to see fun, go to my website. Why? Because I put up new pictures for my birthday party under the hook eye. The nice Muslim fellow with one eye and a hook. UK can extradite hook-handed cleric and four others to the U.S. He's Britain's most recognizable extremist. It's taken 4 years to deport him to America while they banned me without even giving me a trial. It took 4 years to deport this superb individual. One eye is coming here with the hook. I don't know whether or not he will be hired by the Justice Department to man the polling places. We don't know that yet. Allegedly, he's coming here to face terrorism charges, but it is possible that he is of such supreme character that he may be hired by Eric Holder to man a polling place in Boca Raton with the hook. There's the article. Violent crime falls as killing of officers rises. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. A disturbing trend has emerged. Cops are being killed. And most of them are white cops. Sorry, I'm sorry I had to say that. But all right, I'll say it. So where's the pictures of the party I put up? I don't know where Art put them. Ah, bottom left. Thanks, Art. That's where they belong. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. We've taken Teddy off the lead and put a beautiful woman up because I figured, I don't know, they like dogs, but they like women better. Now, why do I want you to look at these pictures? What do I know? What do I know why I want you to look at them? They're nice pictures. You'll see I actually have friends. You'll see that they're normal. You'll see that they smile. You'll see that they eat. You'll see the plates of food that they're eating. You'll see they're people just like you. No matter how you demonize me, the people are just like you and I. That's so nice people. Dog's nice. People are nice. It's all on the website. It's free. Nothing, not selling anything. The wedding cake is nice. And that's it. Nice pictures, new pictures. I'm going to put a few up again later. I don't know whether you want to hear any more about Dr. Wrong or Reverend Wrong, but we can do it if you want. I mean, you want me to talk about Reverend Wrong? Yes, we can. Yes, we can talk about Reverend Wrong all day long. Now that Vest is gone, we don't have to talk about Vest. We still have Tubby to deal with. I have nothing against overweight people because Chris Christie's a little overweight. I like about 50% of him. The other 50% I could do without. If Christie were to lose 50% of his girth, I hope the 50% that he loses is the liberal part of himself, but God knows. You see, that's the problem with the weight loss diet. If Chris Christie went on a crash diet to be more attractive as a VP candidate, right, with Romney, God knows the part of him he loses could be the conservative part. And then we'd be left with another Joe Biden. So be careful what you wish for. You know where it's going to end up. He's got some bean on in this guy. Sometimes he speaks, and I like what he says. He says, nation now consists of people sitting on the couch waiting for the next government check. That I like. But I don't know which part of him it's coming from. Is it the fat part or the thin part? Because if he goes on to a diet, I don't know which part. You know, a lot of people, when they lose weight, they get mean and angry, and they become liberals. You see, in order to be a conservative, you know, heavy people are generally conservative because they're happier. They feel better about themselves. They let themselves go a little. But once you go on one of these extremist bicycle diets, where all they do is bike and have lean body mass and they're pinching themselves, they eat Pablum for breakfast and bananas for dinner, they never enjoy a minute of their lives, they become diehard psychotic left-wingers, run people over in San Francisco. That's going on. It's an epidemic here. Epidemic. The bicyclists are so out of control in San Francisco, they're killing people. At least one a week for the last few weeks are being knocked off their... Killed, hit by bicycles, injured by bicycles, killed by bicycles, riding the wall. I almost got killed last year. No cops. They won't do the job. And they hate me now, the police in San Francisco, for saying these things. I found out now that they don't like me because I dared say these things. All right, well, you can't win them all, you know. But somebody's got to rein in these bicyclists. Somebody has to put these people in prison for what they're doing. I ride a bike. I don't ride it backwards and hit people. I don't run red lights into crosswalks and kill elderly Chinese people and say whoops and then put it on my website like it's a joke and doesn't even get arrested for it. Where was I before I got distracted by bicyclists in jester costumes who are too thin? Oh, Chris Christie saying the nation's turning into people sitting on a couch waiting for the next government check. Yeah, but Chris, listen, that's only 50% of the people. Obama would like to see it at 90% of the people, not 50. You know, everybody should be sitting on a couch waiting for a government check, eating the government cheese, playing backgammon and driving a 1956 Buick like they do in the home country of Cuba. Obama's running his campaign on Marxist tenets. Every tenet of Obama is a Marxist tenet. Fear, jealousy, those are the mantras of the Democratic voter. Because of the racial bias and the anti-capitalist nature of Obama, he is exhibiting all of the tenets of Marxism. He associates with the rich, gets his money from the rich, and then makes believe he's one of the so-called 1%. Can you believe this? Ruling with fear and envy. Ruling with fear and envy. That's all he's living off, on the fumes of envy. In fact, most of the millionaires in this country have started from very humble backgrounds. They have started from very humble backgrounds. And the reason progressives hate them is because they've lost. They tried it themselves and couldn't make it. So they fell back to their hippie mentality, which is that anyone who has money is a crook. And they hold on to that mythology because they wasted most of their youth smoking pot and on left-wing stupidity. And so, therefore, it must be true that anyone with money is a crook. And that's why they hate anybody who's done better than them. It's all jealousy. It's all it is, the have and have-nots. Watch the movie Burn with Marlon Brando. They won't be happy till they burn down the sugar plantation and they won't have anything to eat. And who will they blame then? I'm going to take your calls when I come back. We're going to talk more about trickle-down tyranny. We're going to, there's so many things we can do today on the Savage Nation. I got callers saying, well, here's a reformed Dem. The other likes trickle-down tyranny. Another woman says I changed how she thinks. If you care to join the conversation or reach more people than you'll ever reach for the rest of your life or have reached in your entire life, no matter if you're 40 or 14, you've never talked to as many people as you'll talk to simply by picking up that phone and getting on the air and you'll win a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, then go ahead and call the one open line at 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a moment.
Savage.
What month is this? What year is it? Where am I? It's April 10th, 2012. Easter is over. What's the next holiday? What's the next holiday the average worker has to look forward to? Now, the average person sitting on a couch collecting a food stamp and a government check and the government cheese, every day is a holiday for them. And so April, what is the next? Is July, the next holiday is Memorial Day weekend, right? Oh, my God. The average worker works so hard in this country. It's frightening. It really is. It's hard making a living in this country supporting the Obama voters. It really is murder. Like, you know, he ain't heavy father. He's my brother. All right, let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name's Taylor. I'm a young conservative. I'm actually from Long Island. I've been reading Trickle Down Tyranny, and I'm up to the part where you're talking about this whole Soros versus Rupert Murdoch thing. And it really, you know, it inspires me. I've heard about conspiracy theories my whole life, but when you talk about it in this book, it doesn't sound like a conspiracy theory. This stuff sounds real. And I just want to hear more of your take on this whole New World Order thing.
Mm-hmm. So how old are you, Taylor?
21 years old.
And how did you become a conservative that you're even reading a book of mine? I mean, you should be smoking a joint and watching a sporting match, shouldn't you?
Well, I used to be smoking joints and doing all those drugs, and I was a diehard liberal who supported Obama and everything he did. But I realized after I quit the drugs that I became much more conservative. Actually,
now you know why they want medical marijuana approved in 50 states, because the dopier they are, the more easily they are gulled into believing this man is not a communist and that he's out for the interests of the average American worker. Now you understand everything you ever needed to know. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for the next liberal girl that you meet in a, well, I don't know where you go now. I can't imagine. I don't think you go to AA meetings or anything, but 21 years old and conservative. I can't imagine what he'll be like at 40. Oh, God. Can you imagine if you're conservative at 21, what you'll be at 30, then 40, then 50? This guy at 70 will be a member of a, I don't know, some far, far something. There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever. There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever been. Rick Vest drops out. I can't yell on the show because if I yell, I risk alienating the new tone of radio. Now it has to be civil. It has to be very civil. Only the other side's allowed to yell and scream and curse and attack you. Racial bias suit against top cop tossed. Oh, good news. An officer collapses in courtroom after jury rejects accusations of 7 black policemen against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus. That's the latest racket. They hire black people because they're forced to by the Justice Department. Then they're sued for being racist because they didn't make him a police chief the first year. Contra Costa, California jury just rejected accusations of racial discrimination filed by 7 black police officers against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus, throwing out all claims of harassment and bias and awarding no damages. Oh, well, there's a case for the reverends. They got to come in now and override the jury. You got to bring in Reverend Wrong and Reverend Jackson and Reverend High Jackson and Reverend Low Jackson and Reverend Mo Jackson and Reverend whatever Jackson. So the plaintiff collapsed in his seat. One of the plaintiffs collapsed. I guess he isn't going to get that vacation in Boca Raton with a fortune based upon what his lawyer told him. The jury also cleared now retired Deputy Chief Lori Ritter and the city of Richmond of wrongdoing in the case. Both are white. In the racial discriminate lawsuit, they were all sued for $18 million in comp. Why? They said that after taking office, the white officer quickly favored staff that was not African-American, including promoting Ritter over black officers, and made racially insensitive remarks, blah, blah, blah. His attorney countered that the plaintiffs resented him because he was white, gay, and an now there's the new battle going on. Richmond put in a gay white man as police chief, so he was attacked by blacks now. You hear this? This is amazing what's going on. It's the left eating the left. No one wins in a case like this. I don't see winners or losers. There's no winners or losers in this kind of hatred. The only winner is the lawyer, Stephen Jaffe, an attorney for the plaintiff. We're going to be exploring our options, said Stephen Jaffe, an attorney for the plaintiffs. There's still racial tension. We're going to look into it, said Jaffe, an attorney. So there's a federal trial and a similar suit is scheduled to begin in November. Attorney Jeff Spielberg, said. Tiny Jeff Spellboy.
Savage.
So this is a big deal, what's going on. There's a low-grade race war going on in America because Obama wants it to happen. This is how he survives, through division, through strife, turning one group against another. So this case now, no racial bias by Richmond, California police chief. Seven black police officers against white police chief Chris Magnus, who was gay. They lose today because the city didn't cave into a settlement to their shyster lawyer. They lose. And one of these seven black officers collapses in his chair. Why would he collapse? Just because they lost? I mean, he saw the Mercedes already and the vacation in Boca, the house, the vacation. It's a big lawsuit. And you got six people, $18 million, that's $3 million ahead. That's good. $18 million in comp. So that's six guys figure take off the grift off the top for the lawyer, a 40%er. It still leaves about $2 million for each of them. So no wonder he fainted in the chair. This is a three-month trial, so the lawyer probably promised him you have $2 million. He already spent it in his mind. The car already, the house, the vacation home, no more work. The guy, of course, he fainted in the chair, has to go back to work now. Anyway, this is good news, very good news. All right, let's take the caller. Sharon in Pittsburgh, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was so excited I had to call you. I was in Barnes & Noble in Pittsburgh, and I picked up your book, and there were only three left on the shelf.
I'm read in Pittsburgh, PA, one of the finest cities on the eastern seaboard, even though it's not on the seaboard. I lived in Pittsburgh for a while. I love the city. You know, I almost moved there. I almost bought a house. And isn't there Chestnut Hill there?
Yeah. Oh, well, Pittsburgh is great. And I was just so surprised that there was only three left. I was all excited because
how could they read my book in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh, where I think it's mainly Democrat, isn't it?
It is. It's disgusting.
No, I lived there for a while. I was doing consulting in the vitamin business, and I came to really love the city. It had all of the charms in some ways of a New York, yet it was smaller. It was beautiful. The museum there is first-rate museum. Some of the greatest art in the world is in your city. One of the finest medical schools in the world. The river is gorgeous. The bridges are great. It's a very quaint and yet very modern city. I love Pittsburgh.
It is. And how about the scene coming out of the tunnels from the airport and then boom, like the city's right there.
No, I do. I did enjoy it. But all right, fate took me back to the lovely land of the green-haired bicycle rider who likes to run people over in crosswalks. Hey, thanks for that report. I'd send you a free book, but you already have one. So what's the point? You know what I want to do right now on the show? I want to take a pause. I want to breathe in. Now, everyone breathe in. Breathe in. I got something beautiful for you right now. I was interviewed by the Washington Times yesterday. Listen to this.
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I wish I were better, but I can't be better because every day is another shock to the system.
How important is it to the future of this nation to rid ourselves of this president come November?
Well, look, if you like Fidel Castro, I think that he's a perfect candidate to be president for life. But if you like America, where success is rewarded, not poverty, where success is not punished, but poverty is punished, where our allies are respected and our enemies are attacked, I mean, this guy has everything backwards. He uses the military as a pawn. Our borders have descended into absolute chaos. Corporations and cronies make off with all the wealth. The people are screaming. And the fact of the matter is, his most deep-pocketed campaign donors and allies are getting fat grants and contracts. Did you see the article this morning that he's diverted $500 million in tax money?
To the IRS.
To the IRS to make sure that Obamacare is upheld even if the court turns it down?
Yeah, a little presumptuous, huh?
No, it's a dictatorship. So when I say to people, trickle-down tyranny, I'm not just using it as hype. I have 300 or more pages of facts here. This is a terrifying situation. Look, even Democrats, and this is an interesting point, even Democrats are frightened of this administration because Obama is out of touch with the mainstream of the Democrat Party. He is something different. We have never had an extreme leftist of this variety in the White House. This is the first time. And the Democrats are terrified. And the fact is we've had an election. which was a mandate on whether or not America wanted to move this far to the left. It was in 2010. The Republicans swept in virtually every election. The media would have you believe that we don't really know where the American people stand. Nothing can be further from the truth. The election said nobody wants to be dragged into the far left in 2010. The problem is the Republicans have done such a great job of killing each other that we don't even know if Obama will be defeated. That really is the issue, don't you think?
Yeah, it's sad. Very sad. We've seen the 99% crowd, a battle over free contraception, an attempt at a race war, his slap at the Supreme Court, his lecturing of the press on how to report on him. Yet he still appears to have half of America ready to vote for him. How?
It's very simple. Over half of America doesn't pay taxes, do they? That's the half that loves Obama. They like you and I working our behinds off to pay for their pleasure, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Now we
it's
have
how every it's how every demagogue works, yeah. Which is appeal to the lowest common denominator, attack the productive and call them the rich, support the bums and call them the victims. This is nothing new. See, everything that he's saying has been tried somewhere else. Europe's moving away from this. The European governments are moving away from this far-left mentality. What worries me is not just the socialism that we see creeping into our country, and we're 50-60% there anyway. It's the tyrannical nature of Obama. Who listening to this show can say that they're not frightened of this man's imperiousness, his arrogance, the vacations, the First Lady's repeated vacations and arrogance? It's as though we're living with a king and a queen, not a president and a First Lady.
Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned the press just briefly. You have an excellent description of what once was a great journalistic society in this country. What happened to them?
After World War II, you had men returning from war who were these grizzled, hardened, alcoholic smokers who wouldn't let a fly go by without analyzing it, correctly so, because they didn't want tyranny to evolve. You're the tough old type of reporter that doesn't exist anymore. And they were eventually, they died off, and we now have what you call the Society of Professional Journalists. Need I say more? The fact of the matter is these are all geldings.
Yeah.
They were specifically picked to enter journalism school because they were not these gung-ho, defend America, defend the Constitution types. These were kids who couldn't do anything else, frankly, so they went into journalism school. I'm very harsh on it because I see what they've done. The job of the press is to be a pit bull for the American people, not to be a lapdog of the administration to get invited to dinners. And that summarizes it all, don't you think?
Yep, I do. And in fact, with the passing of Mike Wallace this past weekend, I thought, there goes the last one. I mean, there was a guy who I thought was the pit bull you spoke of.
Well, his son, Mr. Meatball Jr., is on Fox News with a different...
Chris Wallace.
Chris. I mean, Mr. Meatball Jr. is there. I mean, he pretends to be a tough journalist. And
no, he's a registered Democrat. I called him out on that, and he admitted it.
I see. Well, how many others on Fox are registered Democrats?
You know, I don't know that.
I mean, you've got Scarface. I mean, what's her name? The Scientologist who pretends to be a journalist.
You're not talking about Greta, are you?
Yeah. The Scientologist. The Scientologist who went for a facelift and a campaign lift and came out and said, I'm on Fox News, but I'm still a registered Scientologist Democrat. And I'm supposed to believe a word she says?
Oh, man. All right, we're going
to
move
on. I'm sorry. Look, I don't mean to embarrass you.
No,
they're not. Look, I don't want to embarrass you. The fact is I'm banned in the United Kingdom and I'm banned on Fox News. To me, they're one and the same at this point.
Wow.
The fear here for me is that the trickle-down tyranny we all see is this. Are we going to remain the United States of America or become the USS of Eight, the socialist states of America? Will Obama transform the greatest engine of freedom the world has ever known into a Stalin-like dictatorship? Or can the American people wake up and throw this polarizing president out of office next November? That's what my entire book is about.
You know,
it's about the tyranny. The tyranny is what it's about. It's not an invention. It's there. It's factual.
I want people to read page 120 of your book, Trickle Down Tyranny. That's the name of the book, folks. Rules for Beating Radicals. I must admit, I love the fighting the fire with fire approach. I've always been like that. You got to challenge them. You got to call them out. Why doesn't the right do this? Why don't they take the garbage they spew and throw it right back in their face, Michael?
You know, it's funny you picked that because most of the readers who bought the book, it only came out last week, said to me they love the rules for beating radicals, meaning techniques, tactics. Can I read four headlines in there, please?
Yep.
Never believe a word that comes out of a Democrat's mouth. That's a safe thing to do. Never negotiate with a leftist Democrat because they have no good faith. Never compromise with a Democrat because to them compromise is a victory. Attack Democrats before they attack you. They have no core principles except the lust for power. Obstruct Democrats at every opportunity. Use the left's treatment of racial and ethnic minorities against them. Following Alinsky's rules, turn it back upon them. Why don't the conservatives do this? Why are they always playing catch-up? Because they think that they're too nice to fight. They think that there's something wrong with winning. And that is exactly why Romney is losing.
It's an important book, folks. It really is. You need to read it. It's brand new by Michael Savage. Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Michael, great to talk to you. Good luck with the book and keep on fighting the good fight.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Savage.
This is awful, but there's all sorts of racial hatred going on in the country, and believe me, Reverend Wright and the other reverends are not helping it. Here's one that should make you throw up, frankly. It's sickening. A white man was attacked by a mob of seven non-whites in Baltimore, and the Baltimore police chief just, but rather drunken opportunistic criminality. I never heard of those words before. I don't know what drunken opportunistic criminality means, nor does he, but it was given to him, no doubt, by some lawyer inside the department. He said, there's no doubt it's a crime. We need to vigorously hold criminals accountable, but we can't be pulled into this race baiting. Brutal attack could help police identify members of the mob. Knocked the victim to the ground, stole his belongings, even tore his pants off. While he was on the ground, he was sucker punched by an attacker. White man was wearing a Mountain Dew t-shirt, fell to the sidewalk, hit his head. 10 attackers jumped on him. They stole his watch, money, iPhone, keys to his Audi. Dazed and defenseless victim is punched, kicked, and even hit with a shoe. An attacker, I don't know what that is, but I'll have to refer to Anderson Cooper for that answer. Since he made an issue of it once, I have no idea what it means. He seems to be, I don't know what it is. The 126 cell phone video shot by a cameraman who cackled as the beating transpired was first uploaded to the World Star Hip Hop website on March 30th. It was included as part of a fight compilation of 12 clips showing assorted mayhem. So far, no one has been brought to justice. You know, that's that simple. We don't know what the reverends have to say about it. We have not been able to reach Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton about this. We don't know how it goes on. We don't know how this ends. My guess is all of these 10 people will be indicted and then released. No justice, no peace. It's crime. 10 non-whites beat up a white man, and it's not a hate crime. And that's because the white population, rightly so, doesn't play the situation here. They're afraid of inciting a riot. So what can I say to you? It's heartbreaking. Thank God. Thank God. And what if, let's not go to the what ifs. People know what's going on. They know exactly what's going on in this country. Everybody knows that. They're afraid to say a word. And then you have these, hate mongers out there who are trying to steam up more of it as they can, much of it as they can. Second video shows brutal gang attack on tourist outside Baltimore courthouse. Where were the police? What do you mean a courthouse? Was it daytime or was it the middle of the night where there was no one there with a gun? Why are all... Okay, I can't go on with this. It's a new age in radio. We now have Huckstaby on the radio. It's astounding to me what's happening to the Romney campaign. He's finished before this chess game is over. Everybody understands that sumo matches are won by the first move. fights are won by the first early moves. And by what I see going on, the game is over already. So get out your backgammon board, buy your 58 Buick. Make sure you have enough shoes to last the rest of your life. It looks like it's coming. I mean, it looks like Cuba's coming to America. Where was Sharpton and Jackson? Where were they? Well, what are you going to say? What has our society become? What has it come to? Sickening that people would do this, number one. Sickening that there were no police to help. Maybe they weren't around. Not one word from the reverends. Not one word from the reverends about this. Too bad this guy didn't stand his ground. Of course, if he did, he'd be in jail today for standing his ground. Even though a gang attacked him, if he had stood his ground, if there was such a long bolter and he shot one of them, he'd probably go to jail. So the motto is, if you're going to be attacked by a vicious, racist gang, just lay there and like it. Enjoy it. Then you'll be considered a good man because you're a victim. And in a liberal society, only victims are good. So if it happens to you, just lay down and take it, like as Aristotle Onassis said. I didn't make that up. Aristotle Onassis said it because it had been done to him as a youth. Aristotle Onassis, probably don't even remember him anymore. Remember that guy with the glasses? Kind of a grotesque-looking man who married Jackie Onassis after the president got whacked, JFK. The Greek shipping magnate. Well, he started out poor. He was a Greek Catholic. Greek Catholic. And the Muslims took over from the Ottoman Empire. Oh, yeah, yeah. He had to go to work for one of them as an attendant or whatever, an attaché. The guy gave him a choice, you know what I mean? And he said to him, you know, you either do it my way or your whole family will be killed and we'll burn the village down. So that's when he came up with the statement later on that if you're going to get raped, you may as well enjoy it. I didn't say it. Aristotle Onassis did. He was married to Jackie Onassis. Don't get mad at me if it makes you uncomfortable, me telling you things that are true. This is an adult show. It doesn't mean it has to be rude or vulgar to attract your attention. But truth sometimes is shocking. It's amazing to me what passes for, well, whatever. I just said all I'm going to say. All right, let's go to the callers here. Mary in New York on WOR. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I went into I called the Barnes & Noble store in Greenberg, New York, and I asked them if they had copies of Trickle Down Tyranny, and the girl said, Trickle Down T-E-A-R-N?
Well, she must be an English major from Cornell.
Exactly.
Well, she knows how to spell certain things, not tyranny. It's not even in the vocabulary, tyranny. That's not taught anymore. She actually tried to spell it in the computer, T-E-A-R-N-Y, like Tierney? Or T-I-E-R-N-Y, like Jean Tierney, like an actress?
Right.
That's amazing. That's a funny story. That's a first. And what'd she say? She couldn't find trickle-down Jean Tierney?
Exactly. I said, well, you're working at a bookstore and you don't know how to spell tyranny. And she said, do you want me to help you or not? And I said, I don't think
she said, oh, right away they say, well, don't get rude with me. That's the latest thing. The youngsters who come out of college, if you criticize them, they get mad right away. How dare you get rude with me? I said, I'm not getting rude. You're an idiot. What rude? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not being rude. All right, I'm sending you a free copy for putting up with it. You should get two, but we're running out of them already. That's amazing. She couldn't spell tyranny. That's a first. Publisher, pay attention. In the revised edition, put it in phonetics. Phoneticize the title. So the book clerks, they can't spell tyranny, my God. Bullet, B-U-L-L-I-T-T, bullet. Car, K-A-R, okay. That's the new phonetic spelling from Cornell University.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some of this audio, including Jesse High Jackson calling Jesus Christ an occupier. Why doesn't he say Muhammad was an occupier? I guess it might offend some individuals, huh?
He faced crucifixion as he fought occupation. So often we fight occupation, we face crucifixion. But why was he killed? Because he fought and he occupied the corrupt temple. He went to the house of prayer to pray and found corruption buying up the holy place. He occupied the temple. He said, why should the rich occupy the holy place? One with the widow's mite across the street, she cannot even get here, heard, and she's given all that she is, the 99%. So he occupied.
And you need to listen to former President G.W. Bush stating how much he misses the presidency. No kidding.
You know, I often ask, do you miss the presidency? Really, I really don't. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience. I mean, it was inconvenient to have to stop at some stop signs, stoplights here coming over here, but I guess I miss that. But I do miss being commander-in-chief a lot. I mean, I admire our military a lot. And the Bush Center will give me, Institute gives me and Laura an opportunity to repay as best as we can our vets. I'm taking a bunch of vets mountain bike riding in the Paladura Canyon. And, you know, I love to mountain bike ride. What I don't like to do is be beaten on a mountain bike ride by a one-legged veteran. But it's likely to happen.
Now you have to hear the crazed Reverend Wrong discussing who he thinks will get into heaven.
You know who's going to get into heaven? Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Santorum. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Tea Party. When I was hungry, you fed me. You didn't cut food stamps. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You didn't shuttle all the money to the rich. When I was in prison, you did something about the mass incarceration where you got black folk going to jail because it's the war on blacks, not a war on drugs. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. That's Jesus talking. That ain't Jeremiah. Jesus said while he was talking to Zacchaeus, caused Zacchaeus, a rich man, to give half of everything he owned to the poor. You will not hear this passage of John 19 preached on Wall Street. You won't hear this John 19 scripture exegeted in the comfortable pews of the rich folk, the greedy folk, or the Tea Party praisers.
Now, today we're going to talk about Reverend Wrong. You know him as Reverend Wright or Obama's soul. Reverend Wright took on some amazing individuals yesterday. He called Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Hegel, Voltaire, and David Hume stupid. He called the stupidity of these people. Can you imagine this little man calling giants of Western civilization stupid? When Reverend Wrong, Obama's preacher for 20 years, spewed more vicious, racist hatred this week, it was not a surprise. His vile verbal attacks on white people in America were nothing we hadn't heard before. What we heard this time around was different. Why? Because the specific targets of his attacks were some of the great minds of Western civilization. Now, in this age of mass stupidity, few people still know who these men are. Reverend Wrong himself may not know who they are and may have simply attacked them because these are white males who are being attacked by revisionists in the universities, and therefore he hates them. Hume, Hegel, Thomas Jefferson were all great thinkers in the age of the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment was a cultural movement of intellectuals in 18th century Europe that strove to reform society and advance knowledge. It promoted science. It promoted the interchange of ideas. It opposed superstition. It opposed intolerance. In other words, these giants were classical liberals, not the kind we're familiar with today, who are called progressives. They were classical liberals who actually wanted freedom, who actually wanted science and scientific exploration and an end to censorship. They were the kind of liberal who, as Voltaire said, might disagree with what you said, but would defend to the death your right to say it. These liberals were the exact opposite of what liberals want today. Reverend Wrong, in other words, opposes the Enlightenment. These Enlightenment thinkers brought Europe and the New World out of centuries of backwards thought. They ushered in new philosophies, new inventions, new governments, including the United States of America. What Obama's reverend is saying is that he despises these thinkers, despises the changes they brought, despises the liberal ideas they brought. Reverend Wright wants to return to the world of a feudal society ruled by lords, inhabited by peasants, and in other words, run by gangs. But who's the ultimate lord run by gangs? In the hateful world of Obama's preacher, Wright, Obama is the lord, and you are the peasant. I doubt that you've seen this anywhere else, but if you want to hear this and read about this, you go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Top left, thank you very much for helping make Trickle-Down Tyranny number two on the Barnes & Noble bestseller list for last week. Help make it number one by invading the bookstores today and tomorrow, and demanding that Trickle-Down Tyranny be put up front. Also, the United Kingdom has decided they could extradite the hook-handed cleric and four other Muslim extremist terrorists to the United States. Santorum suspends campaign. He's using his daughter as an excuse. Obama lied. He said his health care law will not add a dollar to the budget. It will add $340 billion to the deficit. The number of police officers is rising. Killing of officers rises as violent crime falls. Why do you think white policemen are being killed? I'll let you figure it out. Obama renews call for Buffett rule tax on millionaires. Well, why not start with Buffett? Mexican town celebrates Easter with burning of the Jews. That's a ritual in Chiapas, the burning of the Jews. Great. Feds call bankrupt energy firm an empty shell. Another empty shell. Socialist group leads Trayvon Martin protest. No kidding. Stunning lack of diversity in Obama campaign. Take a look at it. Ex-FBI agent in prison for leaking secret files. Take a look at that picture. Savage has written the new book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, that breaks new territory. Inside the Beltway says Savage unleashes more fury. WND says it's do or die for America by Trickle-Down Tyranny. Serial bank robbers wore Muslim hijab. Hear me talk about the most important book I've ever written. The soundbite is on michaelsavage.com. Download it and enjoy it. This is Michael. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I really want to hear. You know what song I like? The Syncopated Clock. I'm in the mood for that. I used to watch The Late Show when I was a kid in after school. My father, I would, you know that story, right? So you don't even know what's going on. The people are so stupid in this country. I don't know whether to just run out of the country and... Am I watching The Late Show? Is this some horror show I'm watching? Has there been a revolution and you don't even know it? Have radicals taken over America? Are they screwing you left and right, north, south, east, and west? Officials from Egypt's Brotherhood are in the White House? So in other words, they're now... What? Wait a minute. Islamists are in the White House? They put Mubarak in prison. They killed Gaddafi. They're backing Islamists in Syria, and you don't see two and two. You can't put two and three together and come up with four. Play Syncopated Clock, because I... Don't know any. Is this reality or fantasy? They want vote fraud. They're boycotting companies like Coca-Cola and Walmart who are against voter fraud. And you don't see a revolution having occurred in this White House, and he gets away with this on a daily basis? Why? I blame the Republicans. Check pants, white guys with golf clubs in their spine. The men who have no backbone, they have golf balls in their back. I blame the
John Boehner. Let him get another lucky strike and a pink tie and start crying on the floor of the Senate. I can't take it anymore. They should be screaming from a rooftop. America would listen. But for some reason, they don't want to say a word. No, no, it's go along, get along. Rip them off. Rip them off. Dip your beak. Dip your beak. Both parties, dip the old beak. There is so much money in this country being stolen on a daily basis. Every time I walk through San Francisco, I say, how could people not see this in his one city? There's one Medicare fraud clinic after another. Here I am, an ordinary citizen. Every other storefront is another here to serve the Chinese community, here to serve this community. What do you mean serve? They have brand new cars pulling up to the Unlock Senior Center. Where do these trucks and vans come from? Who pays for this? And I see children ushered in and out of these clinics all day long. I'm the only one who sees it. I mean, Medicare doesn't have an inspector general who walks around in a city and sees these things. All right. What does it have to do with Obama? Oh, nothing. Nothing. Nothing to do with the Democrat machine. Nothing whatsoever. So I'll take your calls on all of these topics and more. Play the syncopated clock, and let me reset myself. Fox News hires Jesse Jackson's daughter. That's no doubt because she has a PhD in journalism, and because she has such a keen insight into the world. Black caucus blames racial bias for the Trayvon shooting, even though the shooter was not white. TSA screener JFK hurled hot coffee at pilot who told her to stop swearing. Well, it was probably a racist incident. That's the only reason she threw the hot coffee, is the pilot was no doubt a racist. She had every right to be outraged and throw hot coffee at him. I'm sure that there'll be a meeting in Congress over this. Oh, here it is. I was right. TSA Administrator Letitia E. was in the middle of a conversation with work colleagues at a JFK airport when she was interrupted by American Airlines. Off-duty airman Stephen Trivett, 50, was exiting Terminal 8 when he overheard E.I. swearing and asking her to tone down the profanity. Who ever heard of a last name that's E.I.? What does it mean? Trivett of Butler, Tennessee, told them they should conduct themselves more professionally in uniform and not use profanity or the N-word. One TSA screener told Trivett to mind his own business and swore at him. Trivett then identified himself as a TSA officer and armed pilot before trying to grab the ID tags of screener EI to get her name. But EI responded by hurling a full cup of hot coffee over the pilot. Have you been at the TSA recently in Washington, D.C.? It looks like Egypt. People feel like they're going through a screening in Egypt. I can't say things I would say if it was... It was not national radio. This thing could do a live performance. I'd say a few things right now. But here we are. So I would be sitting there listening to the syncopated clock, watching the early show after a hard day at school. Mom would put out the TV tray. She'd make me a nice low-cholesterol dinner. Let's say a rib steak, French fried potatoes, followed up with another low-cholesterol dessert, like a cherry vanilla ice cream. Dad would be coming home from his little store. He'd walk in the door around 6:30, white as a ghost from exhaustion, from the ride from Manhattan. He'd come in there. There's his worst nightmare in front of him. His man-child in the promised land, plump, fat, weak, like a little piglet sitting there being force-fed a cholesterol-rich diet. And he'd say to Mom, are you kidding? You're gonna make the kid into a nothing. How dare, blah, blah, blah. Why are you catering to him? And they'd fight over it. He was wrong. She was right. Look where I am today. So I recommend that you feed your children high cholesterol diets and watch the early. What do you care about the old man? What do you care? Yeah, why do you have to toughen him up? Life was going to toughen him up anyway. It doesn't really matter. I mean, childhood should be golden. Sometimes I look at my dogs. I have three of them now. Don't ask. I wish we didn't. But okay, that's the way it is now. There's Teddy. He's the senior citizen of the dog world. Then we got the Havanese, who I now call a Cuban bed potato. They ask what kind of dog is a little black and white Havanese. I say, oh, he's a Cuban bed potato. The guy, so he's like got a big walrus mustache on him. And he's like Mr. Goofy, like, hello, can I play? And Teddy's like 7 years old and like, oh, look, this is way beyond us now. Let's cut this out, this jumping up and down. Like as old as Teddy, and she weighs a pound and she's half blind and, you know, you got to feel bad for her. She like walks into things and you got to pick her up. She's the little mini poodle, but everything's wrong with her. So that's the menagerie in the house. But the Havanese, the Cuban bed potato is a cute little dog, I got to tell you. But sometimes I look at the Cuban bed potato and Teddy, the little poodle, and I see them lying in their dog beds. And they look just like children do when they're young, like 2, 3 years old. The innocence in their faces. And I say, it's beautiful. That's why we have our dogs, innocence. Then at night I go and turn on National Geographic, and there I see a pack of chimpanzees in a forest in Africa sleeping in the afternoon after they went out hunting for whatever, bananas. And they're resting on the forest floor last night. And I said, look how beautiful they are. I said, boy, before I was in radio, I used to nap in the afternoon. Look what I'm doing now. I don't know whether I would have lived longer or shorter, but I'm not napping in the afternoon. I'm doing the talk show, you know, with 50,000 volts an hour here coming out of me. Then they're napping there, the chimpanzees, and I'm enjoying it after playing with the dogs. All of a sudden they say, but the alpha male notices something in the canopy of the trees, and they're off and running after it. Now the entire pack is chasing the monkey in the tree. And I say, oh, God, no. No, I don't want to watch it. He is jumping from branch to branch, but they have him cut off. He doesn't stand a chance. The next scene is they're eating the thing alive. Well, they don't cook. The chimps have not yet learned how to, like, use a microwave. So they tear him limb to limb. They rip off his head. And they're knocking off a monkey, a live monkey that 2 minutes before looked like my dog. I pick the dog up, and I look at him. And I realize how ethereal it all is and crazy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, in that minute, you realize again what life really is, like tick, 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 how precious it is. Well, that's how precious freedom is to me. Same thing. Freedom is not a given. You have to fight for freedom. No one gives it to you. Governments take it from you. Don't you know that there are governments who will take your freedom from you? They'll take your pride. They'll take your dignity. They'll turn you into an animal if you let them. Don't you understand that? I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Savage.
President Obama is attempting the largest power grab in American history by ordering an update to federal emergency powers. You read about this in Trickle Down Tyranny, and you saw this story on the website yesterday. And joining us right now to discuss this latest power grab is Florida Republican Rep. Sandy Adams. Congressman Adams, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's great to talk to you today.
So, look, you're fearful of this latest power grab, but the president says, man, it's nothing new under the sun. Do you believe him?
Over the last 3 years, we've watched as this president has blurred the line, so to speak. And the latest one was on March 16th when he signed the executive order. And while he is within his rights to sign an executive order, this latest version has made many people concerned because it actually expanded on what was originally the definition of the national defense in Section 801J, which expanded the definition to include peacetime and the use of the Stafford Act, which was meant to be used during natural disasters, is very concerning to me. So the resolution just makes it very clear that we're conducting congressional oversight and that the president he can do his executive orders, but we want to clarify that under the Defense Production Act of 1950, he does not have the authority to confiscate personal or private property, force conscription into armed forces, or to force civilians to engage in labor against their will or without compensation, or force private businesses to relinquish goods or services without compensation. This is something that it's just an oversight provision that makes it very clear that we understand he can do the executive orders, but we also understand that there is the Defense Production Act of 1950 that needs to be followed.
Have we seen anything like this before from any modern American president?
Well, this expanded the definition, and I think that's what caused the concern throughout my constituency, and we heard a lot about it. So rather than have people fearful, we just made it very clear that we were going to conduct the congressional oversight and put in the resolution, you know, you were within your right for an executive order, except you cannot expand past the law that is very clear about the Defense Production Act of 1950.
Is what the president is doing impeachable?
I don't think it rises to that level. I think what we need to understand is that every president has signed executive orders. This president, over the last 3 years, has blurred a lot of areas. And by blurring those areas, has caused a lot of concern. So this is why when I reached out and spoke with my constituents and heard about their concerns, I filed the resolution. It's got several sponsors now, co-sponsors, and it is to be very clear about the fact that, yes, the president can sign executive orders, but he can't go past what the law says.
Well, what are you going to do about it in Congress? It seems like you're a voice in the wilderness.
Well, as you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened, and just with the president himself and then with his agencies or his boards, we can talk about the NLRB, for instance. You know, back when they didn't have a full board, they had kind of backed away from some of the ambush election stuff that they were discussing, and then when the president decided to appoint those three, what I believe, unconstitutional board members, then now we're hearing that the NLRB is going to move forward with some of their rulemaking and regulations, and this is unacceptable also because one of those was to force employers to release employees' phone numbers, email addresses to both NLRB and the unions. I found that unacceptable, and so I filed a bill that says, you know, we're going to keep employees' emails and phones secure. It's called the Keep Secure Act, and it's H.R. 3991, because we believe that it's important that people have a right to privacy.
Is your resolution to control the president gaining any traction on Capitol Hill, and does it have any chance of passing?
Well, it's getting a very good amount of support, and we, like I said, we have several co-sponsors, and I hope as we go back to session that we'll continue to create the incentive for people to want to get involved in this resolution, and we will get the Senate to file the similar resolution, and we will work together to pass the resolution.
What can we, the people, do?
Yes, I would ask that your audience contact their representatives, their senators, and let them know that they believe that this is something that lends for them to take notice of, pay attention to, co-sponsor, get involved with, because at the end of the day, again, what we're seeing and what we have seen is a blurring of the lines, and all this does is say Congress is going to conduct the oversight that the people and our Constitution have put in place to do so.
Where can we read more?
You can find more about it at our office website, which is www.adams.house.gov. That's www.adams.house.gov.
You, along with fellow Tea Party Republican Alan West, have been redistricted into a district with an establishment Republican. Do you think that the Republicans are afraid of you and want to get rid of you?
You have to wonder sometimes when you see what has happened, because as you know, when redistricting happened in Florida, we have a couple of new amendments. And what happened was when they redrew the lines and renumbered the districts, 72% of my opponent's constituents remained in the newly drawn number 6 district. However, my opponent decided to abandon 72% of the people he currently represents to run against me in a district that I have the majority of currently to date. And so, yes, he's a 20-year incumbent who's decided to run against one of the freshmen.
This is the Savage Nation.
You know who's going to get into heaven? Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Santorum. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Tea Party. When I was hungry, you fed me. You didn't cut food stamps. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You didn't shuttle all the money to the rich. When I was in prison, you did something about the mass incarceration where you got black folk going to jail because of the war on blacks, not a war on drugs. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. That's Jesus talking. That ain't Jeremiah. Jesus said while he was talking to Zacchaeus, caused Zacchaeus, a rich man, to give half of everything he owned to the poor. You will not hear this passage of John 19 preached on Wall Street. You won't hear this John 19 scripture exegeted in the comfortable pews of the rich folk, the greedy folk, or the Tea Party praisers.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with. The ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
Thinking about that, to the hardcore liberal Democrat, he's the angel, and to the conservative, he's the devil. The country's broken down along this fracture line, you know what I'm saying? It's fractured. The country is more divided than ever in my lifetime. I mean, I lived through the 60s. It was pretty bad then. I lived through the Vietnam War, and I saw what the vermin did to this country at that time. And there was almost a civil war in this country. You might say we had a second civil war in the 60s. You remember the killings at Kent State and whatnot. I believe that this president wants something along those lines in order to make sure that votes are suppressed, number one, and that he can justify doing things, number two. So you can see which camp I'm in. Now, is it because of his race? I would have to think about it in order to justify the fact that I don't believe so. Can I say 100% no about anything? No, I can't. I'm a rational man. I'm a scientist by training. If you said to me that Alan West was president and he's a black man, I would think that it'd be a better country. So what would that make me, a racist? Or is it based on political ideology? To me, it's pure political ideology. I think Clarence Thomas is a wonderful man. I have said so for 15 years because politically I agree with him. I don't look at a man's race when it comes to that. I look at their politics, their intelligence, and their demeanor. That's how I've always been. So I have to just explore my own motivations. And I think I'm pretty clear on where I come from. Of course, those on the other side would argue that anybody who disagrees with Obama is doing it because they don't want a black man in the White House. That's the kind of stuff I saw on the Amazon where they plant, you know, they plant stuff. There's so many news stories. It's shocking out there. But before I go on to your calls, which are so very important to everyone listening to the show, because we're getting flooded with calls from people who are saying that the book has been buried facing the back of the store and we're going to try and fix this. I raised the blockbuster today, which is the take-home message. I'm going to try and do one a day that you can remember. I told you that U.S. elections results are no longer processed by an American company. I told you they're now processed by SCYTL, a company based in Spain. I told you this compromises the process enormously. I said that we can no longer be sure that our election results are trackable. I said that this is very likely the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. I said this has the potential to enable him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. I wrote all of this on page 25 on the vote rigging and trickle-down tyranny. If I were Abby Hoffman, I would tell you to go and tear that page out of the book and send it around, but I'd rather you don't. Okay? A, I'm not Abby Hoffman, and B, buy the book and show the page to others. I don't believe in vandalism. New York, Peter, I think you're a winner. Go ahead, please. Tell us who SCYTL is.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. The board of directors actually is Carls Fur, Bernard Leotard, Albert Fur, Peter Holmes, Per Vales, and basically they're all, it looks like, retired venture capitalists.
Right, but they're all from Europe, aren't they?
That's absolutely correct. I'm trying to do a little investigating on him.
Carlos Ferrar is the general partner of Norta Capital. That's number one. He lives in he's Italian. Bernard Liotode, partner of Balderton Capital, another venture firm, French. Albert Ferrer Oliveras, investment manager of Grupo Financiero Riva y Garcia, another Spaniard. Peter Holmes, director of Intellect for UK Trade Association, he's a Brit. Pierre Vallès, CEO of SCYTL, Spanish. There's not one American person on the board of directors of this company that controls the outcome of our voting. How is that possible? How could SOE, a U.S. elections results company, be permitted to sell it to a holding company in Europe? Who permitted this?
Well, someone's lining someone's pockets somewhere. So
I want to know where the Republicans are on this. Okay, can anyone answer that question? Now, if I know this, I'm only a talk show host. Ordinary guy. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Romney. Matt Rummy, I'm mixing up. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Rummy. I am not as smart as Sanctorum. I certainly wasn't up to a neuron or to the girded one. But the truth is I do the best I can with my limited abilities. And my limited abilities are questioning how it is that our votes could be processed by a Spanish holding company. Where were the Republicans when this occurred? Why has there been no investigation by the Federal Elections Commission? Why are the American people in the dark about this? How do you live in a country where you don't even know if your vote is even counted properly? Why is it that the Associated Press doesn't even cover this story? I have 500 questions. Do you have even one answer? How many times have I been wrong on this show? Almost never. Now, I have told you for over a year now that the Fort Hood shooting suspect, the Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, who in cold blood assassinated 13 soldiers and shot 32 other people, has not yet been tried because Obama does not want this trial to come to light until after the election. Do you know what happened today? You want to hear the story? Fort Hood's shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. The judge, Colonel Gregory Gross, previously delayed the trial from March until June. Nidal Hassan's attorneys want another delay until after the elections. Okay, why do you think Obama wants the Fort Hood massacre buried until after the election? Well, just say the word Hussein. And remember that the crackers are liable to put two and two together, and no matter how many times he has a prayer breakfast in the White House, a goodly portion of people in the backwater states of anywhere west of the Hudson River, anyone who doesn't go to a nightclub till 5 in the morning in New York, you know, in other words, people without teeth who might have appeared in the movie Deliverance to the fine folks of Manhattan, those folks are liable to keep saying that Obama's not really a Christian, no matter what he says. So if you have a bookstore horror story when you went to buy your trickle-down tyranny, I'd like to hear it. By the way, that guy, Peter, gets the three books, Doug. Make sure. I live up to my word to the best I can, okay? Ring the bell again. Let's do it. Yeah, ring. Okay. That's what you get if you win the book. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. West Virginia, Jody. Go ahead. What's your bookstore story?
Hi. When I went in to go to the bookstore, they have your book on a table when you first walk in, and the next table right next to it is Everything from Obama. You can get his Dreams book, his Audacity of Hope, everything.
Oh, I see. Even though the books are no longer current, they're prominently displayed in time for the competition with this one.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, Jody? It's a free country. People are entitled to do what they want in a store. It's not government controlled. And so they're entitled to display any book they want. But I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for being such a good soldier of the Savage Nation. New York, Deborah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I went into Howell today, Howell, New Jersey, and I went into Barnes & Noble, and I said, I'm looking for Dr. Savage's book, Trickle Down Tyranny. He goes, what book? I said, so she said to me, well, I first got to see what, you know, if we have it or not.
Right.
And then I walked down a little midway to the store, and the display towards in the middle, it was like hidden between other books. It was like eight books they had there and facing the back of the store.
All right, where is the bookstore, and what's a Barnes & Noble? Where?
Yes, Howell, New Jersey, on Route 9.
Well, I'm sure my publisher's reps are listening, and they're going to admonish the green-haired individual in the bookstore. Was it a normal clerk or one of the progressive clerks?
She looked like a progressive.
In other words, she looked like a degenerate in plain English.
Yeah,
see, in my day, they called them degenerates. Today, you call them progressives.
Right.
She you're not supposed to notice the track marks on their arm. Or the green hair coming out from underneath their dress. Okay, I get it. You're supposed to say they're just like us. They're not like us. It's horrible. It's like Madame Defarge. Every time I see one of them, I think of Madame Defarge. That's all I can say. So, okay, that's it. You're facing that. You're winning it. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
A Trickle-Down Tyranny.
Bingo. Let's see another winner. I'm only going to do this for a few days. As you well know, Fox News will not have me on until they hired Jesse Jackson's daughter as a broadcaster. That's right. And she was hired specifically because she's such a fine intellect. She has such a sterling delivery. She has a degree in, well, we don't know exactly what, probably is something very advanced, perhaps in nuclear physics. But Murdoch is so desperate he hired Jesse Jackson's daughter for Fox News. Fox News Channel has hired Jesse Jackson's eldest daughter, Chicago host Santita Jackson, as an on-air contributor. This is to make sure that Murdoch is not walking the plank when the Justice Department brings him up on charges of something or other. Now, if you could believe this is what's going on in this country, that they're that politically oriented, well, okay, you got this. You got this. You know that O'Reilly will go to dinner with her and says that she's amazing. Remember when O'Reilly went to dinner with Al Sharpton and he came back and he said he's a nice guy? He actually can use a knife and a fork. And he didn't realize how racist that was? It was astounding to me. I mean, this is a lifetime contract because Fox fires her no matter what her ratings are. They'll be sued for discrimination. But worse than that, the Justice Department will put Murdoch away for years. You know, it's amazing to me how much of the news is now orchestrated about the coup of America and the cover-up. It's unbelievable to me.
Savage.